Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 this afternoon, the book of Hebrews chapter 12. It is weird saying this afternoon when you're in evening service, when you've done something for so long. Hebrews chapter number 12, I'm going to be using this verse to be setting up the lesson that God has laid upon my heart this evening. The last several months, I believe it's the last 2 months, we've been going over the word fruitful, and we started out with the word fruitful, and last week I gave a message, but I did not give you the letter that I was trying to get across, and I was talking to Jeff about it this week, and I asked him if I gave it. He goes, no, you didn't. So if you're wanting that for your notes, here's what the U stood for: used for the master. Used for the master. That's what that was for. And that's what we talked about last week, how God wants to use us for his service. So tonight, as we end with the word fruitful, we're landing on a letter L. And that's going to stand for tonight, before I forget, it's going to stand to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. If we want to be a fruitful believer, and I'm using the word believer because everybody uses the term Christian. We know what the word Christian means, Christ-like. Majority of people that use the word Christian are not Christ-like. They don't act like Christ. They don't have the attitude of Christ and things of that nature, which is why I like to use the word believer. That's just me personally. You can use whatever you want to use. That's your choice. So let's begin looking in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through verse number 3. It says this: wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. All right, verse number 2, what's the first few words say, class? What's it say out loud? Looking unto Jesus, exactly. That's a place where we all need to be in our life as we continue to move closer to Jesus Christ. If we're not moving closer to Jesus Christ, then obviously our eyes are not upon him. They're upon ourselves and they're upon many other things in this world, which is why it's important to look to Jesus. I can give you an example in Scripture. When Peter is out on the water, who does he see? He sees Jesus out in the mist. And Peter begins to go out there. He says, Jesus, is that you? I'm paraphrasing here. And he says, yes, Peter, it is. Come hither. So Peter steps out of the boat and he begins walking. Think about this for a minute. Can you imagine walking on water? I mean, a puddle doesn't count. Ice doesn't count. I mean, put yourself out on a boat when the water's at least 30, 40, 50 feet deep, and you know that there's a storm about you, and you put your foot out on the water, and it holds you. To me, when you think about that, you think of the miracle that's taking place right then and there. And that's really showing us the faith that Peter had. But we also know that while he was walking towards Jesus, he did something that he shouldn't have done, and that was what? He took his eyes off of Jesus. So often as we go through Scripture, we'll sit there and we'll get on Peter. We'll condemn Peter. Oh, Peter, you took your eyes off of Jesus, and you begin to sink. And we'll sit there and say, what a loser you were, what a failure you are. But we don't think about what took place after that. Because when Peter began to sink, where did his eyes go directly to? It went right back to Jesus. And that's what we need to do so often in our lives. I believe Peter, when he was out there, reality began to set in. Oh my goodness, I'm actually out here in the water. My Savior's right over there. He's been my protector for so many years. But the scenery around him, I believe he began to get terrified. And his faith at that point in time began to decrease. And he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to seek. But he looked unto him. And here's a great picture about that chapter there. As he begins to look back to Jesus, guess who's there with an arm stretched out? Jesus. So we see the importance of why we as believers, in order to be fruitful in our lives, in order to be fruit bearers, we need to be looking to God. To go along with what we talked about this morning, why do we look to God? Because he is worthy, exactly. He is worthy. So how can a believer tonight be fruitful? Here it is, by looking to Jesus, the Lamb of God. It doesn't tell us to look to the world. It doesn't tell us to look to other individuals. But it says, look to Jesus. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. You and I, as we begin to go out into our life as a believer, and as we begin to walk, sure, we get distracted. Sure, our eyes are taken off of Jesus on many occasions. Again, I'm a realist. We all take our eyes off of God. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not look to Jesus every day this week. And you might be shocked. Well, how can you say that? Because I'm real. I'm human. I fail just like everybody else. But the great thing about that is, no matter how often I fail, which is quite often, I'm still able to look to God because he's a Lamb of God, and I can continue my walk with him. So that's how we can be fruitful as a believer, is by looking to Jesus. Look to the Lamb of God. But so often we look to ourselves and we look to man. But what do we know about man? Man fails us every single time. We put our hope, we put our trust, and we put our faith in man. But man fails us. I haven't gotten caught up in politics in the last year for this reason. Because I've learned that man fails us. And people might say, are you not upset about how the country, the direction we're going in, and how they voted? Can I be honest with you? No. I'm not upset. Because God removes and God puts people in place. It's part of his plan. But one of the reasons why I'm not upset about it is because I'm not looking to them for my success. I'm not looking to them to meet my needs. We have to look to God, which is why I am not upset with what took place. I like what my dad has always said, we get what we deserve. And that is so true. The people that we have in leadership are there because we deserve them. End of that story. No more politics. I'm off that because I made a vow to myself not to bring politics in the message, but I didn't. I just kind of giving you a little deal. So be fruitful by looking to Jesus, by looking to the Lamb of God. The second way that we can be fruitful tonight as a believer is this. Anybody want to take a stab at this? Let me correct myself. Somebody that's watching out there, the preacher said stab, so we're going to turn him in. Anybody want to take I can't even say shot. Strike, there you go. Crack. See, you say cracked, and people are going to take that the wrong way too. See, we're just messed up. All right, I'm just going to go off on this. The second way that we can be fruitful is, you ready for this, Justin? By abiding in the shepherd. By abiding in the shepherd. That's how we can be fruitful tonight as we look to Jesus, by abiding with him. You know what that word abide means? It means come into my home. You're welcome. You have access. Come and abide with me. I like when I think about the word abide. As I look back at my own life, I was able to abide in my mom and dad's home. And as I'm in my mom and dad's home, I have all the freedoms that I need, all the freedoms that I want. I am being taken care of. Do you know that I did not have to worry about a meal not being prepared for me? I didn't have to worry about that. Why? Because I'm abiding in their presence. I am a guest. And because I am a guest, they're meeting my needs. Think about that. I'm a guest of my folks when I'm in their house. I'm abiding with them. And so as they're taking care of my needs, there's another thing that I see as I'm abiding with the Lord is this. You guys know when I was growing up, I got scared of storms. I even to this day, I don't like storms. I don't like the lightning. You guys know what I did when I was going to Florida and lightning came down. I screamed like a little girl. I'm supposed to be protecting my wife and my daughter, and I'm the one who's panicking about the storm. And there would be nights where the storm's going. Wayne and I shared a room for many years. Jeff and I shared a room for many years. I have some beef with Jeff, only because he was a neat freak. But anyway, Wayne and I, we'd share rooms, and I remember on many different occasions pulling the covers over my head at night because I didn't even want to see the flash. But long story short, one of the great things about abiding with a shepherd is this. He is my protector. I don't need to fear anything. Because when I'm in his presence, when I'm in his home, not only is he taking care of me, feeding me spiritually, but he's also protecting me. Protecting me from what? Protecting me from the things of this world that's trying to drag me away from him. See, we don't think about that so often, but think about this. Every single day, Satan is out there trying to have an interruption in our life so that that interruption will cause us to take our eyes off of him. And as our eyes are taken off of him, he's slowly going to drag us away from him and drag us into the world that wants to devour us. But if we're to be constantly abiding with a shepherd, I look at it like this. Like the chicken that has the hens, the little chicken things, whatever they call them, chicken things. As the chicken begins to spread out the wings and her little chicks come underneath, they're protected. And that's how I look at it when it comes to God. He opens his arms, and underneath his arms is a place of shelter, is a place of safety. And he's taking care of us. The third thing that we can do tonight by being a fruitful believer as we continue to look to Jesus is this. By staying close with the flock. And I'm talking about staying close with the sheep that God wants us to be in fellowship with. And I'm talking about everybody that's here. You and I are valuable to each other. You and I need each other. What do we need each other for? Well, I can give you a few examples. We need each other for encouragement. We all face discouragement throughout the week. We all get down about something. We all feel like we might not be loved the way that we want to be loved. But there's someone that comes along in the flock that says, I love you. That's encouraging. You know, I said this morning in Sunday school class, and I was kind of poking at Gary just a little bit. But when he found out what took place, and I know him, he was choking back tears. And at one point, he really couldn't choke him back. Why? Because he cared. Isn't it nice as you come into the house of God and other sheep are with you that you can feel the love and that you can feel the care that we have for one another? To me, you can't replace that. That's priceless. You know how good it's been in my life knowing that I have many people in here praying for me and my wife and my daughter? Not only just praying for me, but the whole family. To me, that only happens because of the family that God has allowed us to be a part of. And everyone in here this evening or this afternoon, whatever time you want to call it, is important. And so, staying close with the flock, the body of Christ, is very valuable. Why? Because we need to encourage each other. We need to edify each other. The Bible also says iron sharpens iron. It's good to have that with one another. So as we continue to go on, things that we need to remember while looking for Jesus. I have four things I want to talk about here, because as we look to Jesus, we need to remember what he did for us. Is that not important? Because so often we go in our life, throughout our life, and we don't even really think about what Christ did. But Christ is doing something for us every single day. Every day. We don't realize of the accidents that he keeps us away from as we're in our cars going from place to place. He's got his hand of protection upon us. So something I want you to remember tonight as you are looking to Jesus and as you begin to contemplate the things that he's done, remember this. Jesus was stripped of his dignity. Totally gone. How was he stripped of his dignity? Well, you think about this. God gave us his son who already had a home in heaven, who gave that up for us so that we could have eternal life. And then as he goes through the process, he knew what was going to take place. He knew of the exact time. He knew of the exact place. He knew all those things. But even before that took place, Jesus was stripped of his dignity. Well, think about this. Think about being in front of a crowd of people who are mocking you, laughing at you, but think about this, who beat you beyond belief, who basically stripped him down to nothing, being stripped of his dignity. Our King, our Lord and Savior, spat upon, kicked at, ridiculed, whatever you can think of that people would do to each other because of anger, he went through it. He was stripped of his dignity. The other thing that I want us to think about tonight as we look to Jesus and we remember some things that he does for us or did for us, that thing is the cross that he hung on. Back here, we have this cross that's up here that was given to us years ago by the Edinburgh family. Not too many people here know of the Edinburghs unless you've been here for eternity. But I was a young person when they were around, and I remember when they gave that cross to us. But as you begin to place your hands on that cross that's up there, it's not exactly smooth like most people would think. You would probably get a few splinters. But that cross is nothing compared to the cross that Jesus hung on. The cross was a picture of where they would torment not just Jesus, but that was their means of crucifying other people. It was something that they had practiced many times. So Jesus, as he hung on the cross, you and I need to remember those things. And I think it's kind of fitting as this is coming into place today, not realizing as I'm going throughout this week, as I'm studying this, and I got the other one on my mind as well, he is worthy. But we're also in a season of being thankful as well. That's what November is known for, to be thankful for the things that we have. Tonight, as I look at this that's in front of me, I'm thankful for the cross that my Savior hung on. Why? Because that was his means of giving up his life for you and I so that we can have eternal life. By the way, let me be clear on this. The only way that you can have eternal life is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How do you do that? First of all, you need to realize that your sins are separating you from God. It doesn't matter if you've been born into a family that has religion. Those things don't matter. That's out the door on the day of judgment. But that's what a lot of people cling to. Hey, mom and dad, they were good Christians. Grandma and grandpa, they were good Christians. That has nothing to do about it when we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. If you have never come to the point of realizing your sins are taking you away from Jesus, then I'm sorry, your destination is hell. But that can be changed tonight. Because what you need to come to a realization is this. I need forgiveness of my sins. And ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and ask him to dwell in your heart. And he'll do that. Putting your faith in him. So remember the cross that he hung on. You know, there's one thing that's going to be in heaven that's man-made. Do you guys know that? Can you take a guess what's man-made in heaven? If it's not coming to your mind, I'm going to give it to you because it's my third one I want to talk about tonight. The one thing that I know of that's man-made in heaven is this. The scars that are on his hand. It's man-made. The scars that are on his feet. The scars that are on his head. Those are man-made. How do I know they're there still? Because how did his disciples see him? With the scars. And that's how he went into heaven. Remember the scars that Jesus bore. As you're looking to Jesus, contemplate on these things. Remember his scars. Remember them with his hands stretched out far, the nails in his hand. By the way, when we think of nails today, we're thinking of sharp, pointy metal objects. They didn't have access the way that we have access to these things today. But if I can remember correctly, I believe these nails were actually out of wood. Just imagine that. Having that sharp, pointed wood go in your hands. It can happen back then because they knew how to do stuff back then. So remember the scars that he bore. Well, that's not really important. Yes, it is important. Because he went through that for you and for me. The fourth thing that I want us to remember tonight while looking to Jesus is this. Remember his generosity when it comes to forgiveness. Remember his generosity when it comes to forgiveness. Why do I say that? Because we all have something in our life that we don't necessarily agree with another person. We allow our feelings to come in and overtake us. We allow a seed of bitterness to be planted, to be rooted, to spread. And when that spreads, we have an attitude of unforgiveness. So as we look to Jesus, guess what we're going to do? When people offend us, what should we do? Forgive them. And I know, folks, I know this. It's not always easy to forgive. Well, you have no idea what they did to me. I don't care. Christ says forgive. You don't know how long they've hated me. I don't care. Christ says to forgive. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, you don't know how my boss treats me at work. I don't care. Because God, in His Word, says to forgive. And if we're supposed to model our life after Christ, are we not supposed to have that same type of attitude that He taught in Scripture towards other people? He was willing to forgive. He was generous in those things. By the way, with that being said, I know I'm gonna ask a question. I know people might get mad at me with this, but I'm just going to be honest because I believe church is about being honest. How many of us have sinned this week? Okay, majority of us have. Those who didn't raise their hand, you're not a sinner, and I will talk to you after church. But what have we done when we sinned against God? I can tell you what we've done because I've done it this week. Lord, please forgive me. We want forgiveness from God. Why can't we forgive others? Even if they don't ask for it, you forgive. Because if you don't, you're putting yourself in bondage. So be generous in forgiving. Moving on to point number three tonight, as we continue to look to Jesus, don't just look, but I want you to live for Jesus. It's one thing to look, and it's another thing to live. So we need not only to look to Him, but we need to live for Jesus. So I'm going to give you three ways that will help us to be more successful as a believer, to be more fruitful by living for Jesus. And here's the first one. Live by doing the will of God. So how do we do the will of God? The only answer that I can give you is an answer our pastor used to give us years ago. By doing the will of God means you're not doing your will. Giving up your desires. And recognizing that God's way is more important. Again, that's easier said than done. I know that. I understand that wholeheartedly. Because almost every day of our lives, we're trying to fulfill our own will, our own desires. We're not asking God, what is it your will for me to do today? Lord, is it your will for me to go out and witness to 10 people today? Lord, is it your will for me to sing a couple songs in a hymn book today? Lord, is it your will to read 20 chapters today in your word? Lord, is it your will to do these things? No, we don't normally ask those things. Why? Because we're trying to fulfill our will here upon the earth. And with that being said, this world is just a temporal stopping place. As believers, in order to be fruitful, yes, I understand that we have a life to live. Yes, I understand we have jobs to go to. I understand those things. But doing the will of God is far more important than those things I just mentioned. Most of us only work 8, maybe 10 hours a day. There's more time throughout the day that we can be doing the will of God. So live by doing the will of Jesus. I'm not telling you to do these things. I'm just trying to encourage you to do these things. I can't tell you to do anything. I'm not your boss. I'm just God's messenger, trying to help you live a better life for Him. The second thing that we can do by living for Jesus is this: mimicking your life after Jesus. Mimicking your life after Jesus. The best illustration that I can give to you tonight is this. Most of you folks don't know this, but I love taking care of my yard. I'm known as the Mr. Wilson of the neighborhood. Get off my grass, kid. I stopped doing that here a couple years ago. And every time someone walks in my yard, I still cringe. But I realize it's just grass. That's all it is. It's just grass. But for many, many years, I enjoy taking care of it. I enjoy taking the weeds out of it and making it pretty. I enjoy those things. And I have a certain schedule that I take care of the yard and how I'd mow it, when I would mow it. And I do that because, you know, working with Jeff for so many years, he's got a schedule down, and we keep a schedule. And I keep a yard on schedule. I do not want to miss out on giving my yard a haircut on a Friday when I'm supposed to give my yard a haircut on Thursday. Because then I'm going to have to cut it earlier next week. But anyway, you get the story. So as Jalen was growing up, she used to watch me mow the yard. And I remember one particular year, I don't know if it's Chris that bought this or maybe somebody else bought her this gift, but you remember those little plastic mowers that if you push around, they either do this boop, 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 pop sound or someone have bubbles come out? We didn't have that version. That's the rich version of those things. I remember Jalen, she gets out there, and I'm mowing the grass, I'm going a certain way, and guess who I see out there mimicking her father? My daughter. She's going along, doing the same thing that I'm doing. You know, that's a silly illustration, but you get the point. Because we're supposed to, in our life, mimic the life of Jesus. What he did, we do. What he says, we say. How he lived, we live. That's what it means by mimicking your life after Jesus. I believe you get the point. The last thing that I want to give you tonight, I think will be very helpful towards this in your life is this. Number three is resisting the devil. I put this last because I believe this is one of the most important things that we can do to have a life looking to Jesus, to do the will of the Father, to live for Jesus is resisting the devil. I say this for this reason. We don't realize the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle that we are in. We forget that. But don't think for a second that Satan's not trying to attack you. Because Satan is constantly trying to destroy what God is doing in your life. He's constantly trying to draw you away from the will of the Father. And if we want to be successful, if we want to be fruitful, if we want our kids, if we want our grandkids to live for God, then here's what we have to do, and that is this. We must resist the devil. We can do those things. You know, there's nothing wrong with going home, and I've done this on a few occasions, where Satan's just, he's tormenting me. That's the only word that I can think of. And as he's doing these things, I've gotten so upset at times, where I've walked into my house, my wife and daughter not around, I've opened the door, and I said this at the top of my lungs sometimes, Satan, get out of here. You're no longer welcome. I resist you in the name of Jesus. And then I shut the door. Boy, you might say, that's a little extreme. Well, I did that for this reason. Satan is not Jesus Christ. He can't read my mind. He doesn't know my thoughts. But he can hear me. He can hear me. And when I said those things on a few occasions, guess what took place? The devil left me alone. Because God's word says this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I believe that's what hinders us as we look to Jesus, as we try to live for him, the biggest problem that we have is we're not resisting the devil. We can have a successful life living for Jesus by resisting the devil. You know, even the disciples had a hard time. They weren't perfect. They had some problems. And we won't go into those tonight because time's running out. But I hope that you can see the importance tonight as we end with the word fruitful, how important it is to look to God. Because without Him, we're nothing. So how can we do that? By resisting Him. Amen?